Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming today to celebrate the life and times of Morris Salisbury. When we first started to write this eulogy, I could hear his voice saying, "For God's sake, don't make a fuss and please keep it simple." So as we go through today and the rest of the week, I will do my best to keep that in mind. Morris Murray Salisbury, better known to the rest of us as Mage, was born June 20, 1919 in Kingston, New York, to Fanny and Sam Salisbury. He was the youngest of six children. His siblings were Annie, Harry, Tootsie, Sadie, and Benny. He had a deep love for his brothers and sisters, and later in life, his nieces and nephews. His early years were a challenge with the passing of his mother at the age of 8 years old. He was fortunate enough that his siblings took him in. When he was in middle school, a teacher named Mary Isabel Dunn saw the potential he had and took him under her wing as one of her prized students. She encouraged him through his high school years, and she helped him flourish not only with his education, but develop a love of literature, writing, and the arts. She encouraged him and helped finance his early college education at Washington State University. They maintained a warm relationship until her death. In 1937, before he went to college, he spent the summer at Crater Lake, Oregon, through the Civilian Conservation Corps, the CCC program. One of his favorite stories was they gave two New York guys a couple sticks of dynamite to blow up tree stumps. Sometimes the stumps would blow up in the air, sometimes they'd blow up in little pieces. During his junior year of college, World War II broke out. During World War II, he joined the Merchant Marines and worked on Liberty ships. He was at Normandy for D-Day and often spoke of the horrors of that day and the war itself. He told several stories about the war and how ships were being torpedoed and fired at their ships multiple times. He barely escaped disaster. One of his favorite stories to tell us how his ships was ordered to increase steam. One of his fellow engineers was praying, and he told him when he was done praying that he should get his butt up and help him increase steam. After the war, he continued to work as a merchant marine. Had a passion for travel and experiencing new cultures. Dad would be quick to share stories about his travels with anyone who knew him well. One day in 1950, Dad was in Port of Seattle visiting his sister Tootsie. He asked her if she knew any nice Jewish things. Aunt Tootsie lived at the Santa Rosa apartment, and her neighbors where her Aunt Bessie lived. Aunt Bessie suggested her sister Frances Aguado. It was suggested by Aunt Tootsie that Mage be on his best behavior and better have nothing but gentlemanly intentions. This was the beginning of a great romance. After a lengthy courtship of 6 years, they were married June 7, 1956. It was a love story that lasted 55 years. They enjoyed their nightly cribbage or other card game and for somewhat of a friendly competition to see who would be the victor of the night. He often spoke how much he enjoyed being married and how important it was for him to enjoy his life with his wife, children, and grandchild. He had several passions during his adult life. He was an avid gardener who pored over seed catalogs so he could grow the best plants for that season. He enjoyed giving extra plants to his friends and family and enjoyed sharing his harvest. Dad enjoyed the outdoors, camping, fishing, and Northwest parks and lakes. He was an avid reader, often consuming complete novels in a matter of days. He enjoyed telling stories, embellishing them at times, a trait I now have, and loved talking with his family and friends. Dad had a love for National League Baseball, often spoke of the old New York Giants. He had a keen eye for a bargain, and was never shy to share his thoughts with the grocery store manager or his great nephew, who was a senior vice president at Campbell Soup. A unique situation occurred when our friends and cousins of our generation would come over and visit or spend the night. During the visit, they would insist on using Mace's bathroom downstairs. Reportedly, his reading material was much more entertaining than the upstairs reader digest. I'd like to take a few seconds, just to thank a few groups of people. First, our neighbors from 48th of Snoqualmie. The neighborhood is a very special place for our family. The Owens, the Calvins, the Rothsteads, the Eskenazis, the Babers, Mr. Hotels, and the Carmels. Thank you for your friendship, your caring, concern, and kind thoughts over the years. On Dad's 90th birthday, people brought him all kinds of gifts. Dad was so excited with the present that my childhood friends Donald and Mitch had brought him. The gift reminded them of their youth that they had shared growing up with me. and that the Babers and the Carnells had brought it to an implant, told me to go to the dining room window to make sure that I saw the plant and reminded me not to put the water on. When we were kids, the neighborhood kids would come to our house to see if Mace wanted to play football, baseball, or stewball. Dad enjoyed his second childhood with my friends and myself. Next, I'd like to thank my friends and family from Macy's. Thank you for your support, the additional time off, the concern you have on how the dad was doing. I especially want to thank Scott Walter, Darren Munoz, Krista Kasky, Keith Reason, Gail Tinson, Sarah Woods, Natalie Simmons, and Jonathan Cooney. Cheryl would like to thank the staff of the EAU and the support of all of her girlfriends. We'd also like to thank Dr. Bill Shaw, Dr. Cal Mona, and the entire Home Health Hospice nursing team. I can't imagine this journey during the past couple months without their assistance. We'd also like to thank Mike and Patty Davis and Brian Engler from Always Best Care, as well as their caregivers, Jade and Portia. Thank you for working with our schedules and giving us the right caregiver. The care and support you gave our parents was amazing. Mom and Dad would always share wonderful thoughts each night with me. I'd like to leave everybody with one last thought. When Dad was diagnosed with this heart condition, it became hard for him to sleep at night. Being his wingman, I would stay up with him until all hours of the night, and we'd either talk, we'd watch the military channel, something to do with World War II, or watch the travel channel. If I fell asleep, he would poke me with his picker-upper or throw a deck pillow at me. On several occasions, he would say the same thing to me. I lived 92 years. I've seen some good things, I've seen some bad things. I've been married 55 years and been blessed with a wonderful family. I've had a wonderful life. I have no regrets. Our family would like to thank everyone for coming today. Thank you.